Young Entertainment Professionals. Hey, young entertainers, Libby Ulrich here with the Young Entertainment Professionals podcast, a series featuring the people cultivating the entertainment industry and how they discovered their career path with the help of YEB Nashville.
People underestimate how valuable it is to do your research, because if I had not done what I had done to prepare when I was put in that moment talking to Lynette outside of CMA, I probably would have just said, I can't have an internship, I'm sorry, but thank you. Or if I had gone into that meeting without preparing and coming in with these social media ideas, it would have just been a meeting.
Today's guest is the creative coordinator in publishing at Creative Nation, Miss Shayna Botwin. Shayna, above all, is a true fan of music. She found her dream role in the industry by way of connecting with other music fans and researching songs and the people behind them. We touch on everything from why she pursued publishing to her thoughts on company culture, especially that of Creative Nation. She shares what she's learned working for Luke and Beth Laird and building careers for their songwriter artists like Cassie Ashton. This is a great episode for those who want more advice on networking, finding out what element of the industry aligns with their passions, and ways to continue to grow in their role. Last year, we hosted a live episode recording at the Tracking Room with Surviving the Music Industry podcast that features Luke and Beth Laird and Barry Dean. If you want to hear more from the Creative Nation team, you can find that episode called Relationship Goals. It's episode 102, wherever you listen to podcasts. Now to our conversation with Shayna Botwin. Shayna Botwin, am I pronouncing your last name right?
You sure are.
Amazing. Creative coordinator of publishing at Creative Nation. Welcome to the YEP podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And okay, first of all, I got to talk about, you got some animal print boots on.
I do.
They look great.
Thank you.
Love them.
I stood staring at these and looking at these and some snakeskin ones, and I stood for probably 15 minutes just staring and then went with the cheetah ones, but I'll be back for the snakes.
Good call.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, it's like level up. It's yes. Like we'll start with animal print, then we'll yes. Work towards a snake, and then, yes. You know.
Move on to reptile print.
You have a whole collection.
Yes.
First, we're going to talk about Taylor Swift. We're going to start with that. As all conversations should start. She's releasing a new album tomorrow. And am I wrong?
Ooh. Well, for those listening, I put up a finger. Not the middle one, just the index finger.
I was like, okay. No. I may not be like.
Well, so here's my theory. I mean, and I don't think it's an album. I never thought it's an album. It'll be a single. I say this as if I know, but I think it will not be an album because she is still so focused on beating her own records. And if she cold drops an album, she's not going to do a million Street Week and she's not going to beat her own record because there's just not the promotional time to go with it. So I think that it'll be a single and an album soon after, or maybe even two songs. I'm keeping up to date with all of the rumors, but I saw something about two songs maybe. So I'm good with that. I just don't think it'll be a full album.
I'm not going to debate that.
Yeah.
It's a strong, strong stance. Did you
yes.
take? Sorry, words. Mural. There's a mural in the Gulch. I'm butchering this right now. Sorry, T Swift.
No, it's great.
There was a mural in the Gulch.
Indeed,
today
there was.
That's like, I mean, it's just like this butterfly rainbow situation.
Yes.
What was your experience? What was it like?
So, well, when this started going up a couple days ago, people like knew this was connected to Taylor. Just because she had been talking about butterflies and there were cats in the mural and whatever. People are like, Taylor's putting this up. So this morning I got into work and a friend sent me a Facebook Live link of like News Channel 4 was live at the mural and it said Taylor Swift rumored to appear. So I was sitting with my coworkers at like 9:30.
To come out of the smoke.
Well, I said, I'm sorry, I have to go to the Gulch. So I quickly drove away. And went down to the Gulch and stood with, you would be surprised at the amount of other music industry people that were there.
I was telling a friend, she had texted me and she was like, are you in the middle of this NFL draft stuff? And I was like, no, like, I'm
steering clear of it. But Taylor Swift did draft all the Swifties to the Gulch. Yes. There's two drafts going on.
Yes. And right now. It was, I mean, it was fun. I saw many old friends and did some work while I waited. And Taylor eventually came out and just like was there and took some pictures and met a ton of fans and whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. I was here. I got a really great thing that I'm going to post. and it was a fun morning. And then I went to work and caught up on all the things I missed for the few hours when I was standing there.
Man, that's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I also like wanted to talk about that as well, because from what I hear, like you were a part of her fan club early on. Like, did you have part in that?
Yeah.
In
volunteering
for that?
So the Taylor Swift, like I'll never be someone who's like embarrassed to talk about like being a fangirl in the past, because I would not be in my job where I am in Nashville if it weren't for Taylor Swift. Like I found Taylor when I was 12 and just like fell in love with her music. And this was around the time of her first album, and just, I had never liked country music. I was not into that, but I found Taylor and was like, oh, I guess I was actually ashamed to admit it at first because I was embarrassed that I liked country music. And so eventually I came around to admitting that I just loved it. And this was still in the time of MySpace. And so I had gone and like looked at her MySpace and I saw that all of her top friends were people that had pictures with her. And I was like, oh my God, I want to meet Taylor Swift. How do I get my picture with her? And so I started messaging these people on MySpace and was just asking them. I was like, how'd you meet Taylor? And some people responded and said through her manager. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, can I get his email? And got many no's. And then I was like, okay, I guess I need to like go back and rethink my strategy here. So then I went back, found some more people to message, and was just like befriending them. And actually that's probably like seven of the people that I was with at the Taylor thing today, but I just befriended these people on MySpace and then eventually got to the point where someone gave me her manager's info. And so from there, that was the first contact I ever made in the industry. And just as he moved on from Taylor a year or so after I had met him, he started managing some other artists and I kind of found them and started listening to their music. And then I'm from Atlanta. And so every tour of every size comes through Atlanta. And so every time a show would come through, I would Google, see who the opener was, figure out who their manager was, and then email them and ask for meet and greets. And so that's just how I started meeting people. And like, that's how I met Andrew Cohen and Mark Rucker and all of this stuff back when they were at Crush. Cause I had emailed about Kristen Kelly cause she was opening for Brad Paisley. And I met Rucker when he was like out on the road with her, and I had emailed Cohen about the meet and greets for it. And so I went on hoping that people would forget this is how I met them.
You met people in Yep because of Taylor Swift.
Oh yeah. Like I should talk about Yep. No. So I found Yep like probably my freshman or sophomore year of high school, because I had been talking to all of these people. I'd been talking to Andrew, talking to these people. And so I didn't really know the boundaries. And so I would add all of these people on Facebook and all of this stuff. And so through that, I discovered Yep and just followed along like for years from home. And just so then finally I moved here and it was so great because I knew all of these people. They didn't know me, but I knew all of them. And I had been like, okay, this person
works
here. You've
done your research.
Exactly. And I would not be where I am if it weren't for doing that research in advance. And it just allowed me to like have an upper hand when I'm put in a opportunity. I could take advantage of it. Mm. So, yeah.
And look at you
Taylor
now.
Taylor Swift, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
So really quick, from a publishing standpoint, what do you think has made Taylor Swift successful in terms of like her songwriting craft and being able to like put together these different types of albums that just, you know, do so well and communicate messages in a way that
I mean that's
so
an interesting
clever
question.
And unique
yeah.
And
she is first and foremost a great songwriter. I don't think that anyone has ever claimed that Taylor's the best vocalist there is. Her thing that has always drawn people towards her and has given her success is that she's a fantastic songwriter and she's able to write songs that connect with people and make people feel things. And even like if it's, I mean, she obviously doesn't necessarily fit into the country genre anymore, but the songs that she writes can. And like mm-hmm. if they just had some different production on them, they still could. And like I think it's really cool how she's still, especially now, just has so much focus on being a writer and is wanting outside cuts now mm-hmm. and is giving songs to Little Big Town and the whole thing with Calvin Harris and that like ghost writer right. on that song. And it's really interesting though, because like in the beginning it was all very, and it's still very like, what's the word? Just very like inside. There were very few people who were going to have cuts on a Taylor record, like four or five writers. And mm-hmm. it's, for the most part, still going to be that way. But now she's open to more collaborations. And at least if she's not going to get, if she's not going to cut her own song, at least give it to someone else. So I think that's cool. And just that she experimented too and did that Speak Now album and did it all 100% her rights. And then maybe realized, okay, I should probably get back to co-writing with people, and went back to it and moved on. So yeah.
She's yeah. done it all.
Yeah, she has. Yeah. yeah. Okay. Now we can stop talking about Taylor so we don't make weird.
Totally fine. So your work background. Yes. When did you decide publishing was the area of the industry that like?
Well, to make any of it make sense, I'll try and make this as quick as I can, because there's not really a super short way to tell it, but I have to kind of say my background to make that make sense. But mm-hmm. So like you heard all the stuff, how I first got into the industry, met all these people. So I moved here 2 days after I graduated high school and moved here for the summer to start interning with a digital company and a publishing company, mm-hmm. neither of which are around anymore. But I always wanted to be in publishing. One of my friends that I had met via MySpace had like, you guys have no idea. This is like the future, is meeting all these people on the internet. I like when I moved here, I had this built-in group of probably 15 friends that I had just met from being Taylor Swift fans, and then they all moved to Nashville and wanted to work in the industry. So it was a really cool thing. And they were all older than me, which was really great, because like as I was starting high school, they were starting college and they were all at Belmont and MTSU. And I would just live vicariously through them. And so one of my friends who was at MTSU hit me up one day and was like, hey, have you ever heard of songwriters? And at the time, I was still like only listening. Like there was a solid year where I only listened to Taylor Swift in 2009. Uh-huh. And so I was like, I mean, I know Taylor. I know she writes all her songs, but I didn't realize there were co-writers. And so she sent me to Natalie Hemby's MySpace, and the first demo I ever heard as my introduction to writers was the song that she wrote with Luke Laird called Fine Tune. And I heard that and I was like, wow, this is really, really great. And so from there, I dove into Natalie and Hillary Lindsay and Luke Laird and Shane McAnally. And I found all of these people that just like, my thing is I'm such a music fan. Like I'm greedy. I want more than 10 songs every 2 years. And so with songwriters, I would go and I would see they have a MySpace with songs on it. They have Reverb Nation, they have SoundCloud, and all of these things where I was like constantly getting more Natalie Hemby songs and constantly getting more Hillary Lindsay songs. So I was like, well, this is great. These are great songs and I get them all the time. So that is like what made me fall in love with it. So back to graduated high school, moved here, started interning, and moved out to Murfreesboro, started MTSU 2014 fall. And I started running this program they have called CMAEDU there. And and great program. Everything in my life is because of CMAEDU and Taylor Swift. And so
in MySpace.
In MySpace, yes. So with CMAEDU, like they, it's like the CMA's college outreach program that people who want to work in the music business do. And you get to volunteer and go to panels and that kind of stuff. And so they'll host these little like live at CMA showcases with mm-hmm. all the new artists in town. And they'll invite the Nashville chapters of CMAEDU to come. And so the first event I ever went to was, I'm really weird with dates, don't judge me, but it was September 4th. And so it was like maybe a week or two into school starting. And so it was this live at CMA showcase with Chase Bryant. And I went with a couple girls from MTSU, and as it was wrapping up, I'm standing outside just talking to the girls, and I was talking about social media because I was running all of their socials for us, and I was just like, we'll post this at this time so people see it, whatever. Like, everyone says that, but I didn't do any research. And so this lady who was standing out there walks up to me and is like, hey, I'm the VP of digital at Broken Bow. Do you want an internship? And I was like, okay. Oh my God, I would love an internship. I can't intern. I had fought with MTSU on this, but they would not budge on credit. So I hope someone from MTSU is listening, because I don't agree with that at all. I think it's a really bad policy, to be honest. If someone is willing to offer you an internship, the school should not block you from taking it. So I told her, I would love an internship. I can't intern, but please just let me come in for a meeting. So I went in, and I got together with one of the first people I ever met from YEP, Garrison Snell, and got together with Garrison, and we had just talked about this. I was like, I feel like I need to prepare something for this meeting, so I'm not just walking in like, hey, I'm here, I can't intern.
Right.
So we went through all of Chase's socials, and just I brought it in, and I was like, this is good, this is bad, maybe do this instead. And I was looking at it at the standpoint of an 18-year-old female country fan who was also once a super fan. So, like, I know what that fan wants to see when they're looking at social media from an artist. And so so I just brought it in with that. And they ended up hiring me as an independent contractor. And basically, it was pretty much like a paid internship, and just kind of handed me Broken Bow socials and some artist stuff and just let me run with it. And I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of weird, but sure. And so I started doing that in October 2014. And then November, the other person who was in the digital department ended up leaving. And Lynette, the VP at the time, had hit me up and emailed me and was like, hey, this person's leaving. I'm going to need to fill his position. You're at the top of the list. Let me know if you're interested. And I was just like,
wow.
Okay. And so, well, I was like freaking out. I called my mom. She was like, you're a freshman. You can't take a job. And I hung up on her because I was like, I don't need to hear this. And so I then argued with my parents for about a week and was really stressed about it, but convinced them, like, you're not guaranteed a job when you graduate college, especially in this industry. And I was just offered a job. How could I turn it down? And so I can always go back to school if I need to, but I can't just know that a job is going to be there for me. And so I ended up starting at Broken Bow full-time January 2015, doing digital marketing, and stayed there for 3.5 years, dropped out of school, yeah, so I stayed there for 3.5 years, but that whole time just knew, like, this is really great. It's an amazing opportunity that fell in my lap, but I know it's not what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I want to be in publishing. So I spent all of 2017 just really on the hunt for a publishing job, and it was not a fun year of, like, I mean, I was still in my current job, which was great, and they were really lenient with me in knowing that I wanted to leave, and they were really cool about it, and so that was a blessing, but it was just a year of interviewing and being let down and meeting with people constantly, which is great because I love meeting with people, but it was that, like, staring at my phone, waiting for someone to call me back,
right,
or waiting for that responding email and whatever. Mm-hmm. And so it was a little bit tough and a little bit stressful, and I'm normally not, like, a stressed out person. So it was weird. And at the end of the year, I hit up Beth Laird, who, anybody who knows me knows how much I love Creative Nation. I love Beth Laird, like, always the person I looked up to most in my dream company. And I had had a great relationship with Beth over the years. So I just got together with her and was just like, what else do I need to be doing? I'm meeting with publishers every day. I've gone down the road with, like, 6 or 7 different companies through the interview process, and they're all just not working. I don't understand. And she just told me, timing is everything. Something will happen. Just keep doing what you're doing. And that was right before Christmas 2017. And I came back to work beginning of 2018 and got a call from Beth. And she basically just kind of had me start going through their hiring process without really telling me that's what I was doing. Like, she just called me and was like, hey, I want you to take this personality test, which I had taken for her in the past. But they were doing this new one for all the writers, the interns, the whole company takes these personality tests. And so I was like, sure, whatever. And then she was like, okay, let's get together and talk about these results. So I was like, of course, anything to get together with you. And then from there, she was like, okay, I want you to meet with everyone on the team. And then something in the back of my mind was like, wait, what's happening?
Like,
and
what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And then in a span of 2 weeks from that first initial meeting, I got the job and have been there for over a year now, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, so that was the long story, as short as I could have made it.
What did you learn about yourself in those personality tests?
They're so interesting. And I think it's really like top of mind now too, because everyone's all about the Enneagram right now. What are you? Oh. What is you?
Guess.
I don't know you well enough to guess. Can you guess me?
No. See. Okay. I'm a one.
I'm a three wing two.
Okay.
I'm a three through and through. But it's so interesting. And like the Enneagram and then the personality test that we take now is called the DISC profile. And they're so fascinating because it gives you insight on like how people are actually different and like that this person communicates this way and they like to receive information this way. Mm-hmm. This person likes details. This person doesn't. And like just
when
all
this person
is
stressed out, this is how they react.
Yeah, this is what they do and this is how they react and this is what they want to hear versus what they don't want to hear that'll like send them further down the hole. And it's just, it's helped a lot in just understanding people, especially people that you work closely with, mm-hmm, or are friends with or are in a relationship with. So I'm all about that stuff. Yeah.
It's a good telltale sign of like where you fit in terms of culture, mm-hmm, and friendships and
for
community.
Sure.
And
for sure. Yeah. And I mean, with us, we're a really small company. There's 7 staff. So we have our publishing and then we also have a management wing, but we have 5 who are in publishing, 2 in management, and then we have 9 writers. And so we work in a house, we're in close quarters. So it is important that people work well together and the culture fits. Because if you throw in someone who's just really like really different from everyone else and doesn't necessarily get along, then it can mess up everyone's
vibe.
Yeah.
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 So your day to day, what does that look like?
I've
even noticed over the past like 2 years, like Creative Nation is just like everyone's eyes are on what they're doing and their writers. And I mean, it's just a very interesting and unique culture that you all have. And
yeah,
the types of talent that you've been managing and developing is really, really cool.
It's a really great company and I'm really lucky to be there. Our whole thing is, again, we have 9 writers and there's 2 of us doing creative, me and Jeff Skaggs. And so we don't like do point people and split our roster and do that like, mm-hmm, some bigger companies do. We're both of us are all hands on deck, all 9 writers. And I think I love that because you get to feel really involved with everyone and same for them the other way around. And so, mm-hmm, I love that. And just that every one of our writers has something really unique and different about each of them. Mm-hmm. Our whole thing when we sign people is that we don't want to sign anybody who's in the same lane. We want to make sure that every one of our writers has their thing so that they can get the best of the opportunities that come their way. And we can put all of our effort on them in what they do. And so, mm-hmm, that there's not having to be internal competition between them. Like, oh, we have 4 track guys that do kind of the same thing. This artist has a free day. We have to fight between them who gets it, that type of thing. So like, we know someone's looking for a great lyricist or whatever. We have Barry Dean and we throw him there. So it's like, it's just a good way, I think, to be able to get the most like attention on everyone. And yeah. That was a little bit rambling.
No, I love it. Yeah. You're giving such great perspective.
Well, and then so day to day is always different, but I think really any plugger's job could be kind of evenly split between booking rights, pitching songs, and then meeting with writers and artists and that, mm-hmm, kind of thing. So I think it's really important to meet with like young writers and artists that reach out to you. Like I think most would agree with this too. Like, I'll listen to things that people send me, but I'm way more compelled to listen to something if I know that person. Otherwise, it's probably going to sit in my inbox for a while if you're just a random person who sent me a song. And then there are plenty of other companies that, I mean, really don't accept unsolicited material. And right. I mean, I think we technically don't either, but it's just one of those things where, like, those relationships, you never know who's going to be really great and that whole thing. So I think that it's important to meet with the young people that are reaching out to you, or if you see someone at a show or see someone on Instagram or something and you're curious about what they're doing, either hitting them up if they haven't hit you up. And so do a lot of coffees with writers. And then it's kind of ironic since I am a dropout, but, like, I think the university outreach thing is so important. And I think I love to meet with students and do, like, CMA EDU and Solid and Grammy U mentorships and that kind of thing, because I think it is really important to show people with my specific story, like, you don't just have to follow the path that everyone else has done. Like, if an opportunity arises for you to go do something else, then do it. So, yeah.
Can you talk about just the management style that you enjoy about Luke and Beth, and kind of what those who are listening should look for in terms of culture, and maybe, like, what you're experiencing isn't for them, but maybe to give them a sense of, you know, what am I looking for in a boss in management?
Yeah.
Do I want to be a part of, you know, a business, or do I want to do my own thing?
Yeah, I mean, I personally am a very independent person. I always have been. I've always kind of done my own thing. I've never been that person that has, like, one specific clique of friends they hang out with. And, like, I float around and I'm just on my own. And so I know that I personally would not work well being micromanaged. And luckily, through my career thus far, I have not been micromanaged. But I think that with Beth, like, she knows that about me. Beth and I are very similar in how we operate and how we like to work and be managed and that type of thing. And so she knows what she likes, and she knows that I kind of fall into that. And so, I mean, part of what makes Creative Nation so great and such a great work environment is the level of trust there. Like, when I first started there, obviously this is my first publishing job. And so I kind of thought when I started there would be a little bit, like, of a trial period of, oh, I'm going to run my songs past Jeff or Beth before I pitch them, and or before I set up this meeting. Like, I'll be like, oh, is that cool? And then maybe, like, a week or two in, Jeff was like, you don't need to ask me about all of these things. Like, we hired you because we trust you and your opinions. And I was like, oh, great. This is amazing.
Good to know.
And so, because that was also not very natural for me to be doing all that.
Yeah.
And so I'm more of, like, a ask for forgiveness instead of asking permission person.
Same.
So
yeah.
So
do it. And then if something goes awry,
we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. And work
exactly.
It out, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a huge planner. I'm more of a wing it person. And so, but yeah, it's been really, really great to have that in Beth, and just that, like, confidence and someone who, like, wants our input and our insight on stuff. And she's such a great boss because she keeps us very, like, up to date on everything happening, and good things and bad things. Sometimes if things don't go the way we want to in a deal or whatever it is, just, like, keeping us up to date all along the way. And I think having that transparency is a really cool thing as a business owner, because it lets your staff and your employees, like, know, okay, we're on the same page. Like, she wants our opinion. She wants us to be in the know and not just be in the dark and be like, oh, we found out from Music Row that this happened.
Right.
Which sometimes does happen. And so it's really great to be in a place where that's not the norm. So, yeah.
In terms of pitching, what, within the time that you've been in the publishing world, have you seen change in the way that songs reach artists and how they reach fans, and just the cadence at which songs are released?
Kind
of like we were talking about with the Taylor Swift thing, you know, like, it can vary from someone releasing a single to two singles to an album to an EP to like trickling every week a new
for sure. I think actually my label background gives a lot more of that insight on, and it's interesting to see it from both sides now, to see it from the publishing side, the songwriter side, and then see it from the artist and label side. And we have management, like, so our management arm, all of our management clients are publishing first, but we also manage Cassie Ashton, Steve Moakler, Lori McKenna. And so it's interesting to see because, like, Cassie's in a major label deal. So to see all of that coming in from the management side is kind of that missing piece that I hadn't really seen before. But yeah, it's really interesting. Like, as far as pitching songs goes, I mean, I wasn't around too much before to really see, but from everything I've heard, the game has really changed from, I mean, so many new artists in country are songwriters, and there are not nearly as many outside songs being cut as there once were. And so you still have pitch meetings, you still get songs cut off pitch meetings, but a lot of the times now they're best used for getting information and finding out, like, is this artist going in with a new producer? Oh, they got cut dates, whatever, so that you can strategically book rights with those artists since they're songwriters, and that kind of stuff. And then it is interesting, this is more info coming from the label side, but just seeing, like, I mean, so much of an album being released is going to be based on how's the single doing, because a lot of money goes into releasing an album. And if a single isn't performing, that album probably isn't going to get released. And if it does get released, it's not going to do well. And we're in that weird time in country specifically where sales are so down. And streaming is way up, but it's not nearly as up as it is in urban or pop or hip hop or whatever.
Right.
So it hasn't really done that equal out thing. And so it's this weird time of, like, seeing first week sales on, like, superstar albums that are like 20,000 or something, where you're like, oh, wow, this is interesting. And streaming numbers are through the roof, but it's still weird. And so you'll have some, like, newer artists where they have a single, but they're not a guaranteed hit maker, and the single's not a hit yet, and they have an album slated to come out, and then the single's not performing like they think it should, so the album gets pulled. And either the single falls off and dies and that's it, or sometimes they'll put out an EP instead of the album, or maybe they'll just pull the single and put out another single. But it's interesting, and I think that labels are being more aware of that because of how much of that money goes into it. And again, like, if you put out an album and have pretty weak sales or just less than expected, it's not a guarantee for that artist to get another album. And so people are, I know management is way more present in that than they ever have been. And I mean, half, like, Red Light artists, I mean, Red Light is its own, like, ecosystem where they have every single thing going on there and are basically a whole team, and they
production,
can release their
management,
own.
Yeah.
Yeah. And digital and marketing and publicity and all of this stuff within management. And so you're seeing a lot more of that, and seeing a lot of artists releasing stuff before they get a record deal, and then getting a record deal once they've released this music, they've built a touring base, and they have their creative vision in mind.
Solid.
Yeah.
Solid. I love it. I want to talk about Cassie Ashton for a second.
Yes.
So she's a Belmont kid.
Mm-hmm.
Know her, familiar with her from that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always been impressed just with her work ethic.
Yeah.
Like, the amount that she does on her own. Can you speak to, like, what it's like to work with a young person like that?
For sure. Well, and this, like, I swear to you, this is the truth when I say this, but when I first saw Cassie, she was already with Creative Nation, but it was before she signed her record deal. I was still at Broken Bow at the time, and she had done two showcases. She did an acoustic showcase, and then she did a full band one, like, a couple weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
And when she, so I was at this acoustic showcase first, and after I saw it, I was like, there is no artist that I want to work with more than I want to work with Cassie Ashton. I swear to you, I said this, you could ask people. And
they can listen to this and know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, just everything about her is so good. Like, the music is so good. She's so compelling. The show is amazing, especially after seeing the full band show. The show is incredible. And then as I started working with her, just seeing, like you said, how much she does. Like, for everyone that doesn't know Cassie, like, she has her record deal is a joint venture with UMG Nashville and Interscope out of LA. And so she's got some really great teams behind her. And she just she's so hands-on with what she does. And she runs all of her social media by herself. She's a graphic designer, and she designs all of her single covers, album covers, all of that stuff. She designs her own merch. She basically plans out every single part of her music video and basically does every part of it except the filming.
She makes
of
her
it.
Own clothes.
She makes
and
her own
clothes.
And
then posts videos about how she made the clothes.
Yes.
And I'm like, wow, she...
I mean, she's got like insane. Her sewing machine is like her prized possession. She makes all of these clothes like for red carpets and everyday wear. And she's like the most handy girl you would ever meet and like lives at Home Depot basically. And is just, I mean, literally so talented in every way. So it's really cool to work with someone like that who is so hands-on in their career. Because you have artists that are, and you have artists that are really, really hands-off. And right. especially as someone who worked in digital, having someone who, like, I don't know if anyone even has any of the passwords to her socials. She does all of that. So it's really cool to see artists who are so involved in it.
What kind of advice can you offer to those artists that are trying to learn how to be hands-on in their digital like, or more hands-on.
Yeah. I mean, digital social media is like...
It's a whole nother episode, I feel
it
like.
Is. It's really, really hard. It's very time-consuming. It's very hard. And a lot of times, like, people will ask me on stuff like, just how do I gain more followers? I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's real. There's not... a right answer, and what works for one person doesn't work for the next person. And I think the best thing you can do on social media is just be authentically yourself. Don't necessarily chase these other things that people are trying to do. Find whatever your thing is and do it. And like, I'm trying to think back. I know a successful thing that I had done at Broken Bow when I was doing that was I was working really closely with Craig Campbell at the time, and we had started, this is probably 2015, I think, we started doing this, like, at the time, I think it was really when Facebook had first launched their, like, native video hosting, where you could upload a video direct to Facebook instead of just linking one, and they were really, really pushing you to upload your own videos, and so we were like, okay, what can we do so that we're regularly uploading these? So we started this, like, just weekly series, because Craig is also all about like women, that whole thing. So we started this like Woman Cover Wednesday because we saw people were posting covers and we're doing really, really well with them. So we're like, what can we do that's different than just posting a cover? So it was based off Woman Crush Wednesday. It's just hashtag WCW. And we would do Woman Cover Wednesday, and every week Craig would just cover a female song. And we did that, and it went really, really well. And we would get a ton of press pickup every week, every time he would post something. We would have some people come do guest covers with him.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, I'm trying to think of everyone we had come do it. We had a good bit of people do it, but I remember – it's so funny. I think she was, like, 11 at the time. But, like, Tegan Marie came and did one because she saw it. And I think he, like, helped premiere one of her songs with her by doing it on there. And but we had a handful of female artists come do it with him. And it was a really cool thing. And it was, like, a unique way for Craig to be himself and keep – the fans there waiting. They knew every Wednesday that was going to happen. So they're waiting for that every Wednesday. So I think, again, with social media, it's just important to find your thing that people can know you for. Like with Cassie, there's this thing she's been rolling out that you were kind of referencing. Like, I think it's called The Look, where she's been going through like her music video outfits, and she's been going through how she made them and like taking you step by step and just going through each of these things and like behind the scenes of the music video. Like, this is how I did this. This is how I thought of this thing. And yeah, just kind of finding what makes you unique and throwing it out there, basically.
Definitely makes her unique and sets her apart from anyone else.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Any other like parting wisdom that you have for the industry, the kid out there that's wanting an industry job?
Well, I mean, I know we talked about it earlier on, but I think that it like people underestimate how valuable it is to do your research, because if I had not done what I had done to prepare when I was put in that moment talking to Lynette outside of CMA, I probably would have just said, I can't have an internship. I'm sorry, but thank you. Or if I had gone into that meeting without preparing and coming in with these social media ideas, it would have just been a meeting where I got to know Lynette or all of that stuff. I think it's just really important. There's so many like resources. There's this podcast. There's so many different music podcasts you could listen, like for publishing specific people. There's like And the Writer Is and the AIMP Pubcast, I think it's called, and NSAI and like all of these different things. And then, I mean, there's just so many resources, and like it's not hard to find people's emails and figure them out. And I think the most important thing you can do is be reaching out to people and building relationships. And literally everybody will tell you this, but it's just getting to know people and not going trying to get anything from anyone. Just
right.
reaching out to get coffee with someone because you love their company and you want to know what they do and that kind of thing. And or you want to know their story, and just befriending people your age. Like if you're a student at Belmont, being friends with the people in your class, because the longer you're here, the more apparent it becomes how everyone in Nashville rises in classes. Like you just have the groups of people that all get their pub deals and their record deals and their jobs all at the same time. And it's these groups of friends that just go through the ranks. And it's a really, really cool thing to watch.
And it's so funny because like so many of us are here either doing the industry thing or doing the songwriter artist thing. And like out of all the songwriters and artists that I've interviewed, especially for NSAI Coffee Break, like each of them has a unique story still. Like I've never sat down and thought, oh, like this is the same story. This is the same thing. Like every single time I'm enlightened because they have their own specific like songwriting craft or like the way that they express themselves. And I think that that's like what's so cool about our industry is that
it's
never a dull moment.
For sure. And like, it's so interesting. And like you said, everyone has their story. And like, if you're at Belmont again, you're going to like naturally have these people and you have like all the showcases you can do there and best of the best and that kind of stuff. And you have Bear House and those things. I'm like really educated on Belmont for someone who didn't go there, but I used to go to their combos.
I would think that you would have like,
That's how I met Beth Laird for the first time this is a funny, quick little side note. I met her for the first time because before I started MTSU, it was like, there must have been a summer convo for something. And Beth was speaking on a panel with a few other people. And I saw it. I don't know how I saw it because I didn't go there. But I saw that it was happening. And I was like, oh, my God, I have to go meet Beth Laird. And so I went and ended up meeting her for the first time there. And if anyone listening to this ever meets her, just ask her about that because it's really great. Basically, after the convo, she was just like talking to the people who were there and I was standing next to her, like listening to the conversation she was having and just like waiting my turn. And this is right after she had her son, Jake, and she kind of like stopped the conversation she was having and was like, hey, I got to get home to Jake. Like, do you know where Inman Garage is? And so I just kind of like swooped in and I was like, I parked there. I could walk you. And she was like, okay. And so, so I walked her back to her car and
Swift.
Yes. Move. And I had
that
I
was not a Taylor Swift reference. And then I accidentally
it
like
works.
Yeah,
it works. And so I had told her my name. I was like, hey, I'm Shayna, whatever. And we're talking. And then like as it ends, I was like, hey, so I'm gonna be running this CMA EDU chapter at MTSU. And Luke Laird had gone to MTSU and they had a couple other, like actually half the staff went to MTSU. And so I was like, I'd love to have a like panel or something with you guys. And so I go and I hand her, I had these little business cards that said like music business student at MTSU. And so I hand it to her and she looks at it and she goes, I know you. And my heart stopped. I was like, you know me? Because in my mind, I'm like, you're like my inspiration and you know who I am. And she goes, yeah. I've seen you all over our socials, liking and commenting on our stuff. I was like, oh yeah, that's me.
Shayna Botwin.
And yeah, so she'll tell it the exact same way too, except in her mind, she was like, oh my God, I know this girl and she's walking me to my car and she likes and comments and all of our stuff. Is this creepy? And I was like, no, it's all good. But yeah, so that's how I first met Beth. But all of that was to say, like, it's very important to get to know, like, the people at your level and then be reaching out to people and of any level, because just about anybody in town will meet with you if you reach out to them. Like there's very few people aside from like maybe presidents of companies who are too busy to meet with you. And so that, and also just because I'm talking about it, like when you're here long enough and you start to see the class thing happening, it is the coolest feeling. And I'm at this weird place now where it's happening with all of my friends. And like, there's this group of friends where I'm the only non-artist writer in it. They're all artists. And it's like Avenue Beat, who just signed a pub deal and just signed a record deal. And then Joey Hendrix, who just signed a pub deal and just signed a record deal. Carlos Vara just signed a pub deal, just signed a record deal. And it's like, actually, he didn't sign a pub deal, but he doesn't want to. But it's like this weird thing where everybody in the group is just talent attracts talent and people rise together and they write together and they hang out together. And it's like, it's so cool to watch your friends having those successes and then to be able to be a part of it now since I'm working with songwriters and being able to set them up with my friends. I'm like, this is so weird. It's like this weird mixing of the worlds. But then once you're in Nashville long enough, there is no different worlds. It's all one thing.
Right.
It's so cool.
And I mean, and this is the time to be doing that too as well. Yeah. Since like songwriters are having more of a face. And
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And now when you ask someone who's not in the business, do you know about songwriters? They will say yes. Because
yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's really cool.
Well, this has been awesome. Thank you.
Thank you
for
sharing
all of
me.
Your perspective.
I ramble a lot. Thank you for having me though.
Of course. Thanks, Shayna.
Yeah.
Follow Creative Nation on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can also visit their website, creativenation.com, to discover their roster of clients and what they are up to. Stay in the loop on latest Yep events by following Yep Nashville and Yep Los Angeles on socials to learn how to get involved in your city. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Libby Ulrich, the host of the Young Entertainment Professionals podcast. Until next time, discover, cultivate, accelerate.